Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 48, and on this vote, the bill is amended as passed.
Presiding Senator Mark Wayne Mullen announcing the vote, passing a bill that cuts about $9 billion in federal spending on foreign aid and public broadcasting. The legislation now moves to the House. It could have major ramifications for the targeted spending, from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to U.S. food aid programs abroad. The Justice Department has fired Maureen Comey, a federal prosecutor in Manhattan, and the daughter of former FBI Director James Comey. That's according to 3 people speaking anonymously to the Associated Press. No reason was given for the firing, but Maureen Comey was seen as a potential target, given her father's fraught relationship over the past decade with President Trump. AP correspondent Karen Shamus reports on an Israeli tank strike on a church in Gaza.
Witnesses say Israeli strikes have hit the Holy Family Church in northern Gaza on Thursday morning. The Israeli military strikes injured several people, including the parish priest. Catholic Church officials confirmed. Parish priest Father Gabriel Romanelli was very close with the late Pope Francis, and the two spoke often as Israel continued to carry out its offensive in Gaza. Witnesses said it was an Israeli tank that shelled the church. The Israeli military did not have a comment on the strike. I'm Karen Shamas.
The weather system moving across the Florida panhandle is showing a greater chance of becoming a tropical depression. The National Hurricane Center says there's a 40% chance of it becoming a tropical depression as it moves over the Gulf towards southeastern Louisiana. Alabama and Mississippi could be impacted as well. Police in Jackson Township, New Jersey, say a lightning strike at an archery range has killed a man and injured 13 others. This is AP News. Prince Harry has helped raise awareness for a charity that was once championed by his mother.
Prince Harry has once again followed in his late mother's footsteps by wearing a flak jacket and walking down a marked path in an active minefield in Angola to raise awareness for a charity's work clearing explosives from old war zones. The Duke of Sussex was in the southern African country with Halo Trust Organization, the same group that Princess Diana worked with when she went to Angola in January 1997, just months before she was killed in a car crash in Paris. Diana's advocacy and the images of her walking through a minefield helped mobilize support for a landmine ban treaty that was ratified later that year. Halo Trust says at least 80,000 Angolans have been killed or injured by landmines since 2008. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
I'm Mike Kempin, AP News.
A federal lawsuit is taking aim at ICE over arrests happening at immigration courts. Immigrants and legal advocates have filed a class action suit hoping to stop immigration and customs enforcement officers from picking up people who show up for their scheduled court hearings and then fast-tracking them for deportation. The lawsuit is filed against the Department of Homeland Security, the Justice Department, and ICE. It argues that these arrests violate immigrants' legal rights. The large-scale immigration court arrests began in May and have put fear among asylum seekers and immigrants. President Donald Trump has said the crackdown is focused on deporting dangerous criminals, but government data shows that most of those detained have no criminal record at all. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
There could be another big change coming at airport security checkpoints. Last week,
TSA will no longer require travelers to remove their shoes when they go through our security checkpoints.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says the next big one may be about liquids, suggesting possible changes to the amount travelers can have in carry-on bags. During a conference hosted by The Hill, Noem did not give any details about the changes or how fast travelers may see them. For now, they're allowed to carry on 3.4 ounces or less per item. That's a policy put in place after a 2006 plot to use liquid explosives in carry-ons to blow up planes. One of then First Lady Jill Biden's former top aides has refused to answer questions from House Republicans investigating President Biden's mental state and auto pen use in office. Ex-Jill Biden Chief of Staff Anthony Bernal invoked the Fifth Amendment following a House Oversight Committee subpoena, as President Biden's former doctor did last week. Panel Chair James Comer has sought testimony from nearly a dozen former Biden aides and suggests the list could include Biden relatives and ex-Vice President Kamala Harris.
We're going to bring in everyone. We're moving up the line.
Fellow Republican Byron Donald says every Biden administration member should be subpoenaed.
This is corruption at the highest level.
The ex-president has dismissed the probe, and Democrats say it's simply political theater. Sagar Meghani, Washington. President Trump is flip-flopping over whether he'll fire Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell in the Oval Office today.
I think it's highly unlikely.
That was less than 24 hours after the president suggested in a private meeting with lawmakers he was leaning toward dismissing Powell.
I talked about the concept of firing him. I said, what do you think? Almost every one of them said I should.
The president's been hammering the Fed chief for refusing demands to lower interest rates. But even as he said firing Powell is highly unlikely.
Unless he has to leave for fraud. I mean, it's possible there's fraud involved with the $2.7 billion renovation.
The president and White House have accused Powell of mismanaging a massive Fed building renovation project. President Trump is slamming his own supporters amid their anger over how his administration's handled the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking case. The Justice Department acknowledged last week Epstein did not maintain a client list, and the FBI says it will not release more files about the case. Attorney General Pam Bondi had raised hopes among some of the president's most loyal backers, who are now lashing out. So is he.
It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats, and some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net.
The president in the Oval Office, hours after using an expletive on social media while referring to past supporters who bought the hoax, hook, line, and sinker. He's also defending Bondi.
She says, I gave you all the credible information. And if she finds any more credible information, she'll give that too. What more can she do than that?
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
The U.S. deports 5 immigrant detainees, all from different countries, to the small nation of Eswatini in Africa. In a post on X, Department of Homeland Security spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin said this flight took individuals so uniquely barbaric that their home countries refused to take them back. She says they were convicted of crimes, including murder and child rape. The third country deportations come after the Supreme Court lifted restrictions on sending people to countries where they have no ties. Eswatini, previously called Swaziland, is a country of about 1.2 million people between South Africa and Mozambique. It's one of the world's last remaining absolute monarchies. I'm Julie Walker.
Communities in an area along a 700-mile stretch of Alaska's southern coast ordered residents to higher ground after a powerful earthquake, but officials quickly downgraded their tsunami warning for the region. The earthquake, with a preliminary magnitude of 7.3, struck at 12:37 p.m. local time south of Sand Point, a community of about 600 people on Popof Island in the Aleutian Island chain. The first waves were projected to land there, but the state's Emergency Management Division says an hour following the quake that it had not received any reports of damage. The quake was felt as far away as Anchorage, almost 600 miles to the northeast. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Tom Donlan, the former interim police commissioner of New York City, is suing Mayor Eric Adams and some NYPD brass, alleging they showered loyalists with unearned promotions, buried allegations of misconduct, and gratuitously punished whistleblowers. Donlan accuses Adams and his inner circle of operating the NYPD as a criminal enterprise. His suit also accuses NYPD brass of leaking to the press his wife's arrest for driving without insurance. Last week, four other former high-ranking NYPD officials filed separate lawsuits against Adams and his top deputies, alleging a culture of rampant corruption and bribes that preceded Donlan's appointment. Julie Walker, New York.
Five people in central Louisiana, including three current or former police chiefs, face federal charges for a scheme allegedly selling faked police reports for immigrants who were trying to secure a special visa for crime victims.
The defendants conspired to commit visa fraud.
U.S. Attorney Alexander Van Hook spoke about the grand jury indictment at a news conference in Lafayette.
These U visas serve a valuable purpose, and this is the case where the U visas were abused.
Van Hook says there had been an unusual number of reports of armed robberies of people from outside Louisiana. The investigation found police officials were paid $5,000 per name for providing a forged report. There were hundreds of names.
Defendants produced false police reports so that the purported victims of the robberies could apply for U visas.
Those charged are Oakdale Police Chief Chad Doyle, Forest Hill Police Chief Glenn Dixon, a former Glenmora Police Chief Thibaut Onishe, Oakdale Marshal Michael Slaney, and Oakdale businessman Lala Patel. Audio courtesy KATC. I'm Jennifer King.
In a criminal case capturing modern-day life clashing with a vintage tourist attraction, a carriage driver in Manhattan is on trial over his horse's collapse on the street. Prosecutors say Ian McKeever relentlessly kept driving the horse rider on an 84-degree day back in 2022, despite signs that the animal was struggling to pull the carriage before he went down. The horse survived the fall but was euthanized some months later because of health problems. McKeever pled not guilty to animal cruelty. His attorney says the horse was properly cared for, wasn't overheated, and simply tripped and fell. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Seth Soutal, and this is the AP Markets Report. President Donald Trump sent the stock market on a bumpy ride after saying he had talked about the concept of firing the head of the Federal Reserve, but was unlikely to actually attempt to do it. The S&P 500 added 0.3% Wednesday. That came after the index whipped through an earlier drop and a subsequent recovery. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 231 points. It's about 0.5%. The Nasdaq Composite climbed 0.3%. The head of the Federal Reserve has legal protections against being fired. That allows the central bank the leeway to make unpopular decisions, such as raising interest rates and keeping them high when it's necessary to fight inflation. Seth Soutal, New York.
Bidding was fast and furious at Sotheby's Wednesday for a dinosaur skeleton estimated at up to $6
million. $3 million, $3,200,000, $3,500,000, $3,800,000, $4 million. $4,200,000 already.
Auctioneer Phyllis Cow kept buyers bidding for the more than 6 feet tall, nearly 11 feet long juvenile Ceratosaurus.
At $20 million, $21 million online at $21 million.
Finally, selling at $26 million, but with commission and other fees, $30.5
million. Sold.
Meanwhile, a much-hyped 54-pound rock from Mars that fell to Earth as a meteorite only went for $4.3 million. That was the high end of the estimate. When you add commission and fees, it was $5.3 million. The auction, part of Sotheby's Geek Week sale. Julie Walker, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Gethin Coolbaugh. Three-time NBA All-Star Bradley Beal and the Phoenix Suns have agreed to a buyout on the final 2 years of his contract. ESPN reports Beal will sign a 2-year, $11 million deal to join the Clippers. WNBA Fever star Caitlin Clark missed Wednesday's game against the Liberty after suffering a right groin injury on Tuesday in Boston. Clark's status for the league's All-Star weekend in Indianapolis is uncertain. MLB, the Royals reacquired veteran utility player Adam Frazier in an All-Star break trade with the Pirates. Kansas City sent minor league infielder Cam Devaney to Pittsburgh. NHL, the Panthers will raise their second consecutive Stanley Cup banner on opening night, October 7th against the Blackhawks. And in golf, Oakmont banned former U.S. Open champion Wyndham Clark from returning to the club until he pays for damaging his locker. A man protesting the participation of an Israel-based team in the Tour de France ran onto the course as the leaders raced for the finish line. Norwegian rider Jonas Abrahamsen won the 11th stage in a photo finish just ahead of Swiss rider Mauro Schmidt on Wednesday. But their final sprint was accompanied by a man running alongside who wore a t-shirt saying, quote, "Israel out of the tour." The man also waved a keffiyeh, the black and white checkered headscarf that has become a potent symbol of the Palestinian cause. A security guard ran out to apprehend the man. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
A fire at a newly opened mall in eastern Iraq's Wasit province has killed more than 60 people, including women and children, according to Iraqi officials. Iraq's Ministry of Interior said in a statement that most of the victims died from suffocation in the fire that broke out late on Wednesday in the city of Kut. The statement added that civil defense teams were able to rescue more than 45 people who were trapped inside the building. The mall, which had opened only a week earlier, was in a five-story building that also contained a restaurant and a supermarket. Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani said in a statement that he had directed the Interior Minister to go to the site of the fire to investigate and take measures to prevent a recurrence. Poor building standards have often contributed to tragic fires in Iraq. I'm Karen Shamas.
The Shaz ultra-Orthodox party says it's leaving the government over disagreements surrounding a proposed law meant to grant wide military draft exemptions to its constituents. Leading a minority government would make governing a challenge for Benjamin Netanyahu, but Shaz said it wouldn't work to undermine the coalition once outside it and could vote with it on some laws. It also wouldn't support its collapse. Another ultra-Orthodox party quit earlier this week over the same issue. The political turmoil comes as Israel and Hamas are negotiating on a US-backed ceasefire proposal for Gaza. Bradley Murdoch died Tuesday night, aged 67, in Alice Springs Hospital. He'd been diagnosed with terminal throat cancer in 2019. In an interview with AUBC, South Australia Police Commissioner Grant Stevens says, with Murdoch's death, it's highly unlikely Peter Falconio's body will ever be located.
I think the takeaway from Bradley Murdoch's death is the impact it will have on the Falconio family, that the opportunity to, you know, resolve that part of this horrific crime is now lost forever.
Murdoch had tricked Falconio and his girlfriend Joanne Leese into stopping their camper van. Leese then watched her boyfriend leave the van, later testifying she heard a gunshot and never saw her boyfriend again. Murdoch bound her wrists with cable ties before she managed to escape and hid in the desert shrub for hours. At the time of the 2001 killing, Murdoch was an interstate drug runner, using amphetamines to stay awake for days-long drives and cannabis to sleep. North Territory Police Force officers say they remain committed to resolving the final piece of the investigation. I'm Charles Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.